I was promised the spokesperson for the second most important city in all of Judaism, the city of Hebron, located somewhat about 38 miles to the southwest of Jerusalem. It's the location where the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are buried. They've been there for almost 4,000 years. We want to talk with David Wilder, who is that spokesperson. Actually, normally we catch David when he is in Hebron, but he happens to be on a speaking tour here in the United States, endeavoring to try to edify both Christians and Jews to the significance of this city of Hebron. David, welcome to the United States, and thank you for being available today.
Thanks, Jimmy. Good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you again, my friend. I remember our times together there in Hebron doing television and radio and just having some good fellowship together. During the time, in this last week, there was, of course, Jerusalem Day, the celebration of the liberation of the city of Jerusalem, the reunification of this city after almost 2,000 years. And one of the activities was a group of people, mostly young people, carrying the Israeli flag and dancing through the streets of the modern-day city of Jerusalem into the old city of Jerusalem and towards the Temple Mount. Now, I know something similar to that took place in Hebron, because as we're going to talk about in a moment, the liberation of Hebron also was on the agenda for this last week. But talk to me about Flag Day. What's the purpose, both in Jerusalem and in Hebron, what's the purpose for carrying the Israeli flags and dancing through the streets?
Well, Jimmy, I think, first of all, it's a day. These are days of celebration. And one of the ways that people celebrate is to dance. Being that we're celebrating the liberation of these two very holy cities, what better way to celebrate than to dance through the streets? And I think that, you know, we do that, and it's a tremendous, gives people tremendous feelings of happiness and joy. You know, when you dance, it's an expression of your gratitude towards God for his the wonders that he's done for us in bringing us back to our land and to our cities. But I think there's tremendous significance in the fact that people are with the flags, because, you know, today there are those that are trying to take our land away from us, to take our cities away from us. There are those that say that Jerusalem doesn't belong to the Jewish people, and there are people that say that Hebron doesn't belong to the Jewish people. The flag of the State of Israel is, especially being that it has on it the Star of David in the middle, is tremendously symbolic. It shows, it identifies these streets, these cities, these places with the Jewish people, with the land of Israel, with the State of Israel. Thereby, we're expressing the fact that this is ours. And we're planning on staying here because it's an integral part of our essence, of our being. And I think the dancing, the celebrations with the flags make a point, and I think people understand that.
Yes, I believe they do. I think you're absolutely correct. I can remember, if I recall correctly, 2 Samuel chapter 6, when King David brought up the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, ultimately to go in the permanent worship center, the temple that his son Solomon, King Solomon, would build there on Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount. David danced all the way up into Jerusalem, so there was a precedent set by early religious Jewish leaders who indeed were involved in dancing in celebration. Well, we talked about in previous programs the liberation of the city of Jerusalem, but at the same time, basically, Hebron, which is the oldest Jewish community in the history of the world, Hebron was liberated in June of 1967 during the time of the Six-Day War as well. Talk to us about that.
Well, actually, Hebron was liberated the day after Jerusalem. Jerusalem Day was on Wednesday, and Hebron Day is on Thursday this year, the day after. Actually, the story of the liberation of Hebron is quite wondrous because one man, actually, you know, there are pictures at the wall. We went back to Jerusalem, the Western Wall. There's a very famous picture of a rabbi with a long beard blowing the ram's horn, the shofar. And that same rabbi, Rabbi Shlomo Goren, who was then the chief rabbi of the army at the time, he actually the next day went to Hebron by himself and actually liberated the tomb of the patriarchs, Maarat HaMachpelah, where Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah, Rebecca and Leah were all buried. He went into Hebron all by himself with his driver, and he went to that site. And you have to keep in mind that not only was Hebron without any Jewish population basically since 1929. But that site, which is considered to be the second holiest site to the Jewish people in all the world, had been off limits to Jews and also for Christians for 700 years. For seven centuries, Jews weren't allowed inside that building. And actually, Rabbi Goren became the first Jew to enter that building and liberate that site. And since then, we've been back. And it's a day that we do celebrate, special days, and it's quite significant. Coming back to Jerusalem, to Hebron, were miraculous.
More miraculous. That is probably the best description. Interestingly, in a previous conversation I had with Rabbi Yoel Karen, he was explaining how Shlomo Goren, the rabbi, a general in the Israeli Defense Force, chief of chaplains for the Israeli Defense Force in 67 war, he had gone into the Holy of Holies there on the Temple Mount as he went up with the paratroopers and Uzi Narkis. And he was going to blow the place up until Uzi Narkis, the commanding officer who led the paratroopers onto the Temple Mount, said, "Say that one more time and I'll have to put you in jail." But then Rabbi Yoel Karen expressed to us the rest of the story of how he had gone over to Hebron. This is the type of man that is needed today, would you not say, to lead the Israeli government and have the backbone to do what God's word calls for?
Well, you know, Rabbi Goren was a very special person. First of all, he was a tremendous Torah scholar, but he also did have that backbone. He also had no fear. And actually, I can tell you another story about him, connected also to Jerusalem. During the Six-Day War, the Israeli government had considered declaring Jerusalem an international city and not even conquering the city. They were planning on staying outside the city and offering it to the entire world. And one of the people who was instrumental in preventing that was Rabbi Goren, who said, "You can't do this. This is our city. This is the city of gold. This is our first capital." And he actually convinced the Israeli government, together with then the opposition leader, Menachem Begin, who later was prime minister. He did have a tremendous amount of internal strength. He had a tremendous amount of faith. And you're 100% correct. This is the kind of leadership that we need. People have faith and people have inner strength. Then nothing can stand before them. Today we're seeing leaders that seem to have no backbone whatsoever, and they just crumble under not even pressure. Somebody looks cross-eyed at them. But you're right. I agree with you 100%.
When we think about both the liberation of Jerusalem, and it's still a major conflict, a controversy that will continue until, as one of the Palestinian leaders said, "Hey, we'll give Jerusalem back, the Temple Mount, to the Jewish people when their Messiah comes." That's for sure. That's an absolute. He doesn't have to worry about it. But indeed, the conflict is going on. I mean, this thing is not over. The conflict surrounding Jerusalem and now, of course, the conflict there in Hebron. It's been a city of controversy since Abraham established it as the first Jewish community 4,000 years ago. That's the history of this city. But the future is going to be major conflict, is it not?
I don't think it would be revealing anything that you and your listeners don't know, but there are a couple of other cities of conflict that have to deal with the same issues. I heard that Boston and Times Square and a few other cities around the world are also considered to be cities of conflict because the same people that want to take over Jerusalem and Hebron also want to take over Boston and New York City and Washington, D.C. The crisis that we're dealing with today is not just in Israel, and it's not just in Jerusalem, but we're facing an attempt by very violent extremist people to take over the United States and Europe. And I think that perhaps if the world would help us in Israel, the world would collectively put its foot down and say no, it would help them also. It would assist the United States in its efforts. When the terrorist organizations see that the United States is backing them in Israel, then they say to themselves, if the terror will work there, it will also work here. If and when the world leaders come to that understanding and say to all of our collective enemies, no, you cannot have Jerusalem, you cannot take this by force, we're not going to let you continue to use terrorism to reach your goals, then perhaps we'll be able to stop it here also and less people lose their lives.
Wow, very interesting commentary. And this spoken by a man who lives among a conflict and surrounded by terrorists there in the city of Hebron. It is the second most sacred piece of real estate in all of creation. And by the way, Abraham paid cash money for that piece of real estate, as did King David pay cash money for the Temple Mount. The title deed, your Bible in your hand, the title deed to these very two important cities, and I happen to agree with David Wilder. We've got to take a stand, and I believe the stand, if it's taken in Jerusalem and Hebron, will vibrate all across the entire world. Very interesting comments there, David. Appreciate it. Well, David, thank you so much for reminding us of some of the history of this great city of Hebron, the city that is your home for your family. And the fact is that it has been liberated as well. Doesn't look like it when you go into the city and there's all types of Israeli Defense Force soldiers around. But ultimately, it's going to be in the hands of the Jewish people forever. Would you not agree?
I think that perhaps one of the greatest signs of the liberation of the city is the fact that there are Israeli soldiers there. In 1929, when there were riots there and 67 Jews were slaughtered, we had no mechanism to defend ourselves. One of the signs of sovereignty is a national defense force, be it a police force or an army or whatever, and the fact that today we have soldiers in Hebron, of course you would prefer not to have them deal with some of the issues they have to deal with today. But that's one of the signs of our sovereignty. It's one of the signs of our identity. And I think we can be very proud that we have today in the state of Israel the IDF, and they're in Hebron, and they're in Jerusalem, and they're in Haifa and Beersheba. I hope that one day their jobs will be a little bit easier and they won't have to fight as much as we have to fight today. But if we have to fight, then thank God we have the ability to do that.
David Wilder, spokesperson for the community, the Jewish community in Hebron, the oldest Jewish community in the history of the world. David, thank you so very much. Have a good trip here in the United States in your speaking engagements, and I'm sure we'll talk again probably next time when you're in Hebron. Thank you, my good friend.
Thanks, Jimmy. Shalom, shalom.